Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. Hey, this is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel. And today's segment, I'll file it under news of the why be so weird. Seems like an attractive, smart, talented woman named Ava Misseldine of Columbus, Ohio, wanted to be someone else, someone with a cooler name. So she allegedly stole the name of a baby girl who died when she was only 4 months old. That baby's name was Bree Bourgeois. The baby was buried in a Columbus, Ohio cemetery, and that's where federal agents say Ava Misseldine went to steal that baby's identity. Using that name and her own, Misseldine, a.k.a. Bourgeois, was able to get a pilot's license, go to college, own several successful bakery businesses. You might even have seen her on the Food Network, where she showed off her prize-winning baking skills. Okay, the story spirals out of control from here, and the Daily Beast, arguably one of the most progressive media outlets out there, sicked reporter Justin Rohrlich on the story. He is the one who found it, after all. And here he is to give us the details of this crazy story. Justin, what a crazy story. It's actually kind of fun in a very crazy way.
I found it just by searching through court records, which is pretty much, you know, part of my daily routine. And in just going through the day's cases, I came upon this one. And when you see it on the docket, it usually doesn't look particularly exciting. Yeah. It just said, aggravated identity theft, or actually this one was not an identity theft case. This was a passport fraud case. Yeah. And usually those are, pretty standard marriage fraud or some kind of, low level immigration fraud. But once I started reading this one, I mean, that's really why you have to go in and read each case, because, you know, it's the details, as you know, that make it. So as I read this, I realized that this was unusual enough to clear the bar for a Daily Beast story, and just got on the phone and started calling whoever I could. I got in touch with one of Ava Misseldine's relatives, and I got in touch with the mother of Bree Bourgeois, the baby who died that Ava Misseldine is accused of stealing the identity.
So tell us about Ava Misseldine, a.k.a. Bree Bourgeois.
Ava Misseldine is 49 years old. She had a criminal history for which she went to prison for about 2 years. So she got out of prison in 2001. She was there for a couple of years. She was there on a theft and fraud charge. And when she got out, it was about 2 years later that she allegedly established her alternate identity as Bree Bourgeois, who was a child who died at the age of 4.5 months in 1979. And it's not exactly clear why Misseldine took on this second identity. I mean, the speculation is that she was trying to move on from this criminal past of hers. It would have been difficult to get a job as a flight attendant traveling internationally, as well as a pilot's license, which she eventually got with a felony charge on your record. So that may have had something to do with it. But she wound up living this sort of double life for 20 years, which is extremely
a long time. That's a long time.
And seems to have gotten away with it pretty well. I mean, there are a number of red flags that popped up along the way, but for some reason, she just slipped through the cracks.
She has the look. She's clean cut. She's really attractive. She's very smart. I mean, you know, she got a pilot's license. She became a successful business owner. Still, she walked into a Columbus, Ohio cemetery and picked the name of a 4-month-old baby who passed away, sadly, with the name of Bree Bourgeois. Why, in your opinion, would someone as smart and as talented as Ava Misseldine obviously is, why would she do such a thing?
That's the million-dollar question, I guess. Why does anybody do this? And, you know, in many cases, we see that the identity theft was part and parcel of a larger financial crime. That's usually what it is. In this instance, doesn't appear to really have facilitated a sort of broader criminal enterprise, although we don't know yet. I mean, there's more to come. So we'll see what emerges. This is, you know, it's an unusual case for that reason as well. I mean, there aren't really clear-cut answers here. She did maintain a very successful business. I think she had 3 locations of her bake shop by the time she was arrested. And she operated that business under her real name. So, you know, it's really not exactly clear, but she did work as a flight attendant under the Bree Bourgeois name. And then when she was, she had passports under both names, she had driver's licenses under both names, and she applied for PPP loans in both names, getting about $1.5 million by the end. And it's interesting that she used both names and didn't just, you know, keep the two sort of segregated from one another, which in my experience has been the usual MO for identity thieves. You know, a lot of the conversation since this story came out has been about the name Bree Bourgeois and how it sounds like an made up name. So that's also kind of strange. And that,
you know, John Smith or Joanna Smith or something like that, much easier than Bree Bourgeois.
which sounds sort of like a, you know, fictitious kind of television, made for TV name. But, you know, life is usually stranger than fiction.
Yeah, it really is. What is she facing prison time wise?
A minimum of 2 years, mandatory minimum of 2 years, and a maximum of 30.
It is a lot of time.
The 2 years, I mean, even 2 years, you know, it may sound like a light sentence, but 2 years is a lot of time to spend behind bars.
How was she caught?
She was caught when she, this was last year, when she was applying to renew her passport. So she applied by mail for a new passport as Bree Bourgeois in January 2021. And she submitted a photograph of herself, which she was using on both sets of documents that she had under both names. She listed Bree Bourgeois' birth date as her own in 79 and the social security number that she obtained in 2003 in Bree Bourgeois' name. But the passport folks, however they run checks when somebody submits an application or a renewal, they were able to see that the information she submitted as Bree Bourgeois matched the information on the passport data that she had submitted for Ava Misseldine. So, and somehow their algorithm, connected the two and flagged it for potential fraud. And that's when the investigation started to get underway, and they were able to go back and retroactively connect a ton of dots that really are laid out in the complaint, which are fascinating to read if you're a court watcher.
So tell me, how did the title Cupcake Mogul come to light, which is really interesting, because that's such a, you know, you think of someone who's a baker, they're gentle, they're kind, they certainly aren't scammers in our impressions, but tell me her cupcake mogul history.
Well, she had three cupcake stores in the Columbus, Ohio area. She appeared on the Food Network for one of her cupcakes, a red velvet cupcake that was made with beet juice rather than food coloring. And she was written up in the local press around Columbus a lot as the, you know, sort of trendy, hip cupcake baker. And, you know, people I've heard from, you know, numerous people since who said that they had been to her shops and had met her and tasted her cupcakes, which they everyone said were delicious. The term cupcake mogul itself came from one of my editors, Rachel Old, who writes the headlines and is really fantastic. So that was her creation when we were figuring out how to title the story.
Which is a great hook into the story, by the way, and I'm sure you're sure you know that.
Yeah, she was sort of the Magnolia Bakery of Columbus, Ohio, if you will. And she wound up actually, as far as money goes, she wound up getting, in the end, about $1.5 million of PPP loans, which were forgiven in the end. I assume now she'll be forced to pay those back because they were allegedly fraudulent.
In your knowledge, does she have the money to make restitution?
That I don't know. You know, it's a lot of restitution to make. And if you're taking the money in the first place, you know, it's money that you don't have. So I don't know. I would tend to doubt it, but that's just speculation.
What do you know about her personal life? Is she married, has kids? You did talk to someone in her family in Ohio, correct?
In her past interviews with the press, as a cupcake baker, she had said that she grew up in Hawaii as part of a family, a multi-generational tea empire, and that she moved to Ohio to study chemical engineering, and that she had worked in a cancer research lab for...
Which is all BS.
That's what the relatives said. I asked if she grew up in Hawaii and comes from a tea growing family or tea importing family, and if she had been a cancer researcher, and the relatives said that that was all news to him. So she seems to have concocted a background for herself that kind of played well in the media, and people were obviously very interested by this. Well, hopefully we'll find out more as the court case progresses, but it definitely does appear that she, at the very least, inflated her background, at most, you know, created it out of whole cloth. And we'll find out. You know, I guess people these days know what the media will respond to.
Yeah, it obviously hooked all of us in.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I spoke with Paula Bourgeois, who is Brie Bourgeois' mother. The father, Jacques, died several years ago. And there's a brother who's still around, who lives in Florida, who got in touch with me as well. The family had no idea that this had been going on.
Yeah.
They didn't know that the daughter's name was being used, and they actually hadn't been made aware of the arrest of Ava Misseldine. And it was when I called their home that they found out for the first time. And you know, the mom, Paula, was shocked. I mean, she really, you know, it's a lot for her to take in. Her baby died in 79. And they found out about this because you know, we picked up the phone and called. And, you know, I heard from her son, Bree's brother, who is now, you know, an adult, and said that, you know, it definitely, the arrest has definitely kicked up some memories for the mom. And, you know, she's just trying to make heads or tails of what's happening.
You know, how do you feel when you have to call up the woman of a baby who died in 1979 at only 4.5 months? I mean, how do you approach that? What do you say? What do you do?
Delicately. You know, part of, I think, what makes a, you know, an effective journalist is being a better listener than, you know, a talker. And it definitely involves asking the right questions, but it really is just, you know, kind of a sensitivity that you develop as you make more and more of these kinds of calls. You know, it's just like talking to anyone. And you know, it always starts out with, you know, an explanation of why I'm calling. And this is, you know, coming a little bit out of the blue, but I wanted to make you aware of this if you were not aware already. And, you know, it just, the conversation went from there.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.